Well, in 1780, back then, aged 21, William Wilberforce came up with this amazing practical joke. It was very elaborate. He decided to stand for election as the local MP of his hometown in Hull. That's quite a practical joke, isn't it? He was from a very upper-class family, and he had a load of money to finance his campaign. And he was also very naturally a really good, very powerful speaker, public speaker. And so the practical joke, he won. He won the election. And from that joke was the beginning of a whole career in politics. A few years later, he became friends with an evangelical Christian who had many conversations, and eventually, after a number of chats, he began to follow Jesus for himself as his Lord and his Saviour in a real way. But at that point, William Wilberforce just hit a crisis, because he looked back over the last few years of being in politics, which he'd kind of wasted. He'd been partying and living this life, just doing very little in terms of good. And he looked back on his career, and this is what he said about his first years in Parliament. He said, "The first years I was in Parliament, I did nothing. Nothing that is to any purpose." And he thought, after all that, now that I've become a Christian, I've got to leave. I've got to stop being a politician and become a vicar. And he wrote to a vicar called John Newton. You know John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, that great hymn. He wrote to John Newton to ask his advice. And John Newton said, he wrote back and said, "It is hoped and believed that the Lord has raised you up for the good of his church and for the good of the nation." He was really saying, don't leave politics. Don't become a vicar. God has placed you where you are. He's given you the gifts you've got to be in politics, to be where you are. And we know, looking back, don't we? We know that he was right, because William Wilberforce went on to be instrumental in abolishing the African slave trade and slavery in itself. And he couldn't have done that if he'd been a vicar. William Wilberforce made a difference where he was. What about you? What about you? What difference do you make? And what difference do we make as a church? What difference does it make to the people that we know and to the wider world that we are Christians, that we're following Jesus? What difference does it make? That's the question we're addressing today, and also in these five sermons of this series that we're just embarking on. What difference does it make? So just now, just for you, think for a minute. What are you going to be doing at this time tomorrow, about 10:30 on a Monday morning? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be serving in a shop? Are you going to be in a meeting, maybe? Are you going to be buying something in a shop? Are you going to be in a lesson at school? No, probably not, because all the people at school have gone out. Are you going to be at your station in a factory? Are you going to be on the ward? Are you going to be walking your dog? Are you going to be with a patient or with a client? Where are you going to be? There are 168 hours in a week, and lots of them were asleep. Let's say for four of them, we're at church or at a church thing with church people, roughly 4 hours maybe. That means you've got 164 hours left when you're not in church, and obviously lots of those you'll be asleep. But what difference does it make if you're a Christian? What difference does being a Christian make to the vast majority of our time, that 164 hours? Well, the second Bible reading today, grab your news in the pews and have a look at the second one, 1 Peter. Peter says two things about who we are. Oh, you put them on the screen even better. Two things about who we are. Two things that mean that you make a difference wherever you are for all of those 168 hours in a week. Those two things are: you are chosen by God, and you are exiles scattered in the world. So let me just read that verse again, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect, or chosen by God, and exiles scattered in the world. And I just want to think about each one of those two things now. So first of all, you are chosen by God. I dread to do this a little bit, but just think back to school, your school days, if you were, you would have been at school. Think back to PE, or sport time. Sorry. Think back to PE. Do you remember choosing teams, the choosing of teams? Was that the most horrible experience of your life? When the two sportiest people, the two team captains, would go and stand on one side, and the rest of us would stand on the other side, and we would be standing there feeling very vulnerable, waiting to be chosen, waiting, hoping to be chosen. And the captains would pick who they wanted on their team. And if you can remember it, you were probably finding it humiliating and horrible because you were picked last. I remember that feeling. But the feeling of being chosen, even if it's second from last, that feeling is good, isn't it? If you're first, that's amazing. It's a great feeling to be chosen. And Peter says, if you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, then you have been chosen by God. He didn't have to choose you, but he did. He didn't choose you because of what you've done to earn it. He didn't choose you because you were so good or so sporty. He chose you because he chose you. He loves you because he loves you. And he never changes his mind. He chose to be your heavenly Father. He chose to pay the enormous cost that we often talk about that had to be paid for your forgiveness. And he chose to set you in his family, joining you to every other Christian in love of Jesus, his son. That is who you are. That is who we are. And isn't that an amazing feeling? To be chosen not just by the team captain, but chosen by God. An amazing feeling, but it's not just a feeling. It's a reality. It's true. It's true. And it's true when we're gathered here together. And it's true when we are scattered in the world throughout the rest of the week for those 164 hours. You are chosen by God. The second thing, that brings us to the second thing that Peter says. And he says, we are exiles scattered in the world. Now, Peter wrote this letter, I guess you probably know, he wrote it in Greek, and the Greek word that is translated as exiles up here is something more like, it means something more like people staying for a long time or for a while in a foreign place. People staying for a while in a foreign place. So don't read exiles and think being kicked out of another country, being kicked out. It's not so much being kicked out, it's more staying for a while in a place that is not your home. Now this week, just a few days ago, Maria and I went to visit a lady called Lily, who some of you will know, who lives just up the hill, and she is 100 years old. She hasn't left her house in years. She spends most of her life in her bed. And amazingly, our conversation was really uplifting. It was an inspiring time because Lily, her world is tiny. But she knows that she is going to die before too long. She hasn't got that long left for this world. But those things don't frustrate her, or they don't seem to frustrate her or frighten her. And all the way through our conversation, she was talking about heaven. She was looking forward to heaven. And she was saying, she knows that going to be with Jesus, that is better by far than this life. That is our true home. It's her true home. And it's our true home if we follow Jesus, if we trust in him. This world is not our true home. We are people staying for a little while in a foreign place. But in that case, why does God leave us here? Why are we staying here? Why don't we just go home? Why not just whisk us away to heaven? Well, Peter tells us, God wants his chosen people to be scattered in the world. That's his plan. In verse 2, can we have verse 2? Do you think? Wonderful. Peter says that Christians have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. God wants these people, the people who are described there, people who are sanctified, which just means set apart by God, set apart to belong to God. He wants those people, people who are obedient to Jesus, who are washed clean by him and forgiven from all their sins, past and future, by his death and resurrection. Those are the people who God wants to be out in the world, amongst everyone else, making a difference. Now, Katie and I, a little while ago, we watched a TV series. It was all about Russian spies living in America. And they'd been smuggled into America when they were children. And they lived amongst the Americans, just like normal Americans. And they to all intents and purposes, they looked like they were American, but really, deep down, they were Russian. And Russia was their real home. They would receive orders from Russia. Russia was the motherland. Their loyalty was to the motherland. And if Russia called upon them to carry out a mission to harm America or to harm some of the American citizens, then they would do that because their loyalty is to Russia. And in a funny sort of way, I think Christians are a bit like spies with some very important differences. But we belong somewhere else. Our true home is not here, is it? We belong somewhere else. We're scattered into Denton, into New Haven, into Seaford, or wherever else. We're scattered into our homes and further afield. We're scattered into our workplaces, all sorts of different workplaces or clubs or groups or schools or neighbourhoods. And as we're scattered, our loyalty is first and foremost to Jesus, to the Lord Jesus. And he's given us a mission, just like those spies. But the big difference is that those spies were working against America. And we are seeking the good of those who we live among, and for this nation, and for this world, not their harm. As this series goes on, we're going to think about those places where we're scattered, those people who we encounter, and the word we're going to use is our front lines. They're our front lines. This is Frontline Sundays, is the series. We're going to call it Front Lines because the front lines are the places where we, as the church, meet the world. We, as Christians, meet the world, and God has put you there. That place you thought about earlier on in the sermon, where you're going to be next, this time tomorrow. He's placed you there with those people. If you can think back to the second reading from Matthew, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, you are the light of the world. If you are a Christian, that is what you are. God has put you in your family. He's put you in your friendship circle, in your job, in your local shop. He's put you there to be salt and to be light. To be salty and to shed light. He's put you there to make a difference. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to go into a bit more detail about how that works and what that looks like. But for now, I just want you to be inspired that you make a difference simply by being a follower of Jesus. You are the light of the world. For about 5 years, while I was at sixth form college and at university, I worked in a maintenance team in a school and in my holiday times. And there were about six or seven permanent staff and a handful of students like me who would just do a few weeks here and there. And we'd paint classrooms, we'd knock walls down, we would unblock toilets, we would fix broken doors, all that sort of thing. And every day at 11 o'clock, we would head to the break room for a cup of tea and a sort of mountain of toast. And you can imagine what the tea breaks were like, because they're probably like the tea breaks in your workplace or when you used to work. There was lots and lots of banter. There was lots of joking and stories, and there was a lot of talking about people behind their back who weren't there. There was a lot of grumbling about the management. And all the time I was there, one thing that really struck me was there were three of those permanent staff members were Christians, and they didn't join in the cruel jokes or the talking about people behind their back. They didn't seem to grumble or gossip. And they didn't really swear either. And just, it wasn't dramatic, it wasn't big. It's not like they stood up in every break time and shared the gospel in front of everyone. They didn't do that. They were just there, making a difference, being light and salt in the way that they were. And Jim and Brian and Graham were just quietly getting on with being salt and light. They were chosen by God to belong to him. They were placed by God on that team. And that's true for you as well, if you're following Jesus. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are chosen by God, scattered into your front line. You are making all the difference in the world. Let me pray. Father, thank you for just this couple of verses which say some absolutely amazing things. Thank you that you have chosen us. We know that you've chosen us before you even made the world. You've chosen to fix your love on us, to save us and to make us yours. And you've chosen to place us where you've placed us. Thank you that you make us into light and salt wherever we are. And we pray that we would let our light shine and that people would see our good deeds and trust their Heavenly Father. Please would you help us. Please would you encourage us. And please would you inspire us to be salt and light on our front lines. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we're going to watch a little video, which hopefully, I'm sorry, I told Ruth it was earlier on in the service. But it was
over a month, around 6% of the people got it.